Well, let's go ahead and do a quick round of introductions for those that are here.
Really quick. Chip Worrells with Thomas Jefferson Planning District and MPO.
Mark Graham, Albemarle County.
Brad Sheffield, Albemarle County Board of Supervisors.
Technical team?
Vita, Charlottesville District. Or Charlottesville.
See you there, Joel. You're moving up.
Linda Collins, IT support.
Dave Covington, VDOT, Charlottesville residency.
Joel Denunzio, VDOT, Charlottesville residency.
And Jeanette Donichek, City of Charlottesville.
For those tuned in online, if you look under panel meetings and then click over to advisory panel documents on the left, you'll see the agenda and presentation materials for today's meeting. According to the stats from our last meeting, there were 23 people tuned in, 24 streams. For an average stream, average per minute stream of 59, which seems incredibly high to me, but that's what the statistics said. Lou got 11 emails. I think these were all emails this time. And here's a little summary of what they covered. There was one referenced an accident with a tractor trailer up on Route 29 and mentioned some possible confusion over lane designations and made a suggestion about adding an arrow board. The arrow board, changeable message sign, were added. The sign says that the right lane ends and gave a shift left signs were added up there. There were two comments about the Berkmar webcam not working and just, hi Kristen.
Hi.
Just a reminder that those webcams are solar paneled and I know it was back online 2 days ago. It was okay yesterday and I presume it's back online today. I think that's a pretty popular webcam based on some of the comments we've gotten. Rio was popular, but watching this bridge being built is a pretty cool thing. One suggested that a lane end sign be removed from Route 29 northbound at Hilton Heights now that lane was open and that sign has been covered. A person wrote in, and if I remember this longer email, some people were at a party, and someone at the party who had been a skeptic of the operation of the GSI mentioned to a person that they were very pleased with how it was designed and how traffic was flowing at Rio. There were five comments about Route 29 widening around the Forest Lakes area, and the crew has gone back out and adjusted some construction barrels. I think that was for sight distance.
It wasn't sight distance, but turning radius.
Turning radius. Adjusted some construction barrels and pavement markings and skip lines were added. That work, I know, was rained out, I think, on the 28th and completed on the 29th.
And there's more work that will be completed tomorrow night.
Okay.
To make it even better.
So more work on the pavement markings?
Or asphalt.
Asphalt more. Okay.
Asphalt.
Good. All right. One person wrote in asking about illuminating the Ashwood Boulevard entrance. That will be done when the project is complete. I presume it's not possible now for some utility connections or just...
We don't have the power drops yet, but more importantly, temporary lighting tends to be blinding to drivers.
Yeah.
So there's no way to illuminate the roadway, driving surface.
Okay.
Without creating some safety issues in itself.
All right. Hillsdale got a comment in about the cordoning off the construction area for safety. There is orange fencing out there. but the city has added 3 no trespassing signs and 3 do not enter signs. No new postings on the internet and no calls.
No calls to the project hotline, or did I miss one?
We had one call told, and but when we returned the call, they had already called VDOT and the issue was resolved.
That was
a
surprise.
Yeah, right. The last meeting, there was a question about wall staining colors at Thrive GSI. And there were 6, including the base layer, there were 6 different colors applied in various applications, 4 different applications that covered different areas of the wall. I think Dave put that chart together.
Yes.
Together for us. So the base layer obviously eventually applied to all areas. Some colors only in one application, others in different applications covering different areas of the wall. But that's the distribution and the colors. Because I think it might have been Morgan may have mentioned, or last time we said, gee, it only looked like 2 different colors, but there are 6 colors in 4 different applications on the wall. We could dig back into all of our history of color mixtures, but
well, Philip, I think the important thing that people should realize is there are not 6 different stones with 6 different colors.
Right.
There are 6 colors that went into blending the different stones in to give them texture and more of a 3D appearance. And that's how they were distributed. So each one of those applications would be like one of the stones.
And these folks are the same folks that... Yeah. They're the same folks that did the work at McIntyre.
I had the same question. And while we were meeting on something else, Dave and Joel and those were able to walk me through. Because it appeared to me... It's like, I don't know what's different, but something looks different than the McIntyre or Warner and that. But as they showed me...
Well, McIntyre and Warner are different.
Okay.
they're different.
But I guess, which they confirmed too, and I was just thinking myself, I mean, those others have been out there and weathered now for a year and a half.
And you go by
or longer. And so I have to imagine as time goes, any differences that may be there, they'll start to look more like each other.
Like I told you, I'm a poor barometer. They look exactly alike to me. But I did want to be sure we went back and verified this. These are the colors and the mixtures. If you'll recall, at one point, Hunt Valley gave us a little bit more information than they intended to in terms of some of the proprietary mixes. The other thing I wanted to mention, though, is that we talked last time about the Best Buy ramp landscaping and that nobody had bid on it. Those bids it was rebid. The bids were due at 10 a.m. this morning, and I got a report that we did get 2 bids. I'm not going to know the result of that possibly tomorrow, but probably Monday. So presuming there are 2 responsible and responsive bids, we should be able to get some information to you about that, about the landscaping. Brad, any items for next meeting? Or Kristen? Okay.
And while we're at a pause, I apologize. I'm going to have to leave at about 3:15. So if we're done, that'll be great. But if we're not,
then let's be done for Christmas. Well, we've got 24 hours left. Well, fewer than 24 hours for Ryo, and I'll let Dave tell us more about Ryo when he when. when he gets up. But the colors are where they are where they need to be. Route 29 widening, a lot of work going on up there. Waterline relocation, moving up, more progress on grading and paving on all the phases, actually. Phase two, grading, drainage, and paving complete. Phase three and five, grading, drainage, paving complete. That's good. Berkmar, a lot of work continuing on the roadway construction. Deck construction didn't finish up based on the schedule that they had, but there's a lot of progress being made out there on the deck. Hillsdale, some work on the bridge substructure. It's about halfway mark, and some advanced work on the retaining wall at Pepsi. Some very early work, but extremely early, on the roundabout, and we'll hear a little bit more from Jeanette on that. So looking pretty good. Either the next meeting or in January, we'll have December off the chart. We'll slide this over and finish it out till through October of 2017 with the remaining key milestones on there. So it looks pretty good. Dave?
Okay, good afternoon. As Phil mentioned, we are completing the Ryder GSI project tomorrow. So this week, they worked on a few things, a few punch list items that they've been kind of tracking throughout this whole process, and have all of those done. We have one final thing to do tonight with regard to inspection of the pedestrian light poles, and that's it. All the other inspections have been done, the walkthroughs. We'll probably do one final walkthrough tomorrow just to make sure everything is cleaned up, all the temporary signs are removed. We'll be going back to 45 miles per hour I think today they're taking down those signs, so by tomorrow that'll be back to 45. The aerial inspection on the signals was completed this week. That went well. And again, just beginning that closeout process of getting all the paperwork together, bundling it up, and putting it on the shelves for future records. So we're done midnight tomorrow night. That's, I guess, official, but we are done. Does anybody have any questions about Ryo and how that?
Why don't you just take 60 seconds and tell them what done means at this point, well, from your contract administration point of view?
What it means is that all construction is complete. So Lane Corman has demobilized. They've taken out all of their temporary equipment. There may still be some things that have to happen over the next 60 days for our closeout, which is our documentation period. FHWA, if they choose to do a final inspection, they've already done a semifinal. I don't think they're going to come back for a final, but they have that opportunity. So quite honestly, there won't be any more work there unless something comes up in the future. I really don't anticipate that. Now, there are warranty periods for a lot of the materials that were put in, the signal equipment, landscaping, things like that, that if something happens out there to that material, they'll be responsible for coming out and repairing that. So on occasion, you might see a vehicle out there, but there's no construction activities left to perform. So it's full use to the public at this point.
And I believe meeting this date was important in terms of the overall incentive for the design-build package.
Yeah, we still have a overall all-three-project incentive for early completion. That is $1.3 million maximum. And part of that is meeting the December 2nd completion date, fixed completion date of the Ryo GSI, and then early completion of the other two projects, Route 29 Widening and Berkmar, which we're on track to do. And they have officially rebaselined their schedule for an earlier completion of the end of June of next year. So. That's what we're looking at, and we're on target for that.
Last meeting, we hinted around that, but now as they said, they've officially re-baselined their schedule.
So does that mean if anything that happens out there other than a warranty issue, it's now VDOT's?
Yes.
Come warm.
Yes.
Lucky Joel. Lucky Joel.
Oh.
Well, but again, I mean, we've got a good working relationship with Lane Corman, and if it's something that develops, I mean, obviously we have warranties on pavement and things like that, so they are still here, which is really good, because if they were to leave and everybody disperses and goes and works on other projects in other states, that's difficult. But it's actually a good thing that they're still here working on the other projects.
Yeah.
Still have equipment, still have materials, still have subcontractors. So, yes.
Future meeting, I don't think this is urgent, but I still get a call or an email every now and then. The secretary gets a call or email that insinuates that the only way it was possible to do RIO was to take a lot of shortcuts. And I think we've talked about that before. There are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts here. There's no steps missed. There's no inspections missed. But you heard Dave mention the Federal Highway Administration inspection. Well, that didn't just happen once.
No, there's been 7 or 8.
There's been regular inspections, entire quality control, quality assurance process. Might just add an agenda item to not talk it to death, but just take us through the process again. You know, there's a difference between skipping processes and being efficient working through processes. And that's exactly what's been done here. And quite honestly, if it hadn't been this co-location and daily close working relationship between Dave's bunch and Jason Tracy and his outfit, it would have put a strain on being able to deliver this.
And that's absolutely right. That's part of this closeout process where there are thousands and thousands of pages of documentation that we have to go through, all the QC daily reports. So every inspector that's on site does daily reports. All their density readings, all those things, concrete tests that compile the completion of the quality management system, not to mention our own documentation that was performed in conjunction with that. So that's a pretty extensive process going through, making sure it's all there, making sure that the plan revisions were all, every change that was made in the field that was reviewed and approved by one of their engineers made it into the final plan. So all those plan revisions, the as-built plans, I think we received the first bit of that today. So we'll be working on that for probably a couple of months. But you know, pretty soon here, what we call our C5 completion, which is what triggers the dashboard,
right?
That's that accountability part of it. Will happen tomorrow, and then once we receive all the statements of certification, then we will actually do a statement of acceptance where we will officially accept the project, and Mark, that gets to the maintenance responsibilities, and then our closeout period usually 60 to 90 days. So that's where we are now.
Thank you.
Yep, welcome. Okay, lane closures tonight, that's it for the light inspection, pedestrian light inspections. A couple of pictures here. This is the landscaping and the median. I think both pictures were of that. If we go to the next picture, it just shows the guys out there putting in the trees in the median. These are replacing the ones that were taken out as part of the project. It's a temporary crossovers and closer to the through lanes.
What are they?
I don't even know the species. We told them replace it with the same species that was taken out prior to the project.
We can look at the last presentation, and they're on.
Oh,
there.
Okay.
Well, that was 29. That was 29 250.
Oh, that was 29,250. Yeah, yeah. That's right. That was 29,250.
We have all the certifications because we actually do a pretty intensive process for certification for trees and plants. So I can actually go back and request a tax.
We'll get that. We'll get that.
We can tell you what they are. But what they were supposed to do was replacing kind with what was taken out previously. Okay, Route 29 widening. Phase four is, it really marks that next big step of the project. And we're seeing that out there in the field with a lot of asphalt demolition, a lot of asphalt milling. And we have a couple of pictures that we'll see in a minute that demonstrate how big of a challenge the phase four traffic shift really was in maintaining access to all the residences and communities there. Because we have significant grade differences that we had to overcome. But work this week, they're working on the excavation embankment. That's a lot of the digging out the high points and building the low points so that everything is on the same elevation. Shared use path is in the right place in the future. Curb and ditch construction, obviously, erosion control, maintenance. We had a lot of rain this week. A couple of short, intense storms and then longer drawn out, so we have to make sure that everything's cleaned out and ready so we don't have sediment loss. Finalizing the eastern side of the structures 8-1 and 12-20, the jack and bores. So this time I actually remember to put in some markers. This is near Ashwood and Holly Mead for those structures. The phase four drainage, the culverts need to extend underneath of that portion of the road. Water main relocation is starting back in earnest now, where before we had a little work here, a little work there, but now they're going to start running that 24-inch trunk main right down 29 underneath what will become the shared use path. So we've started back up our weekly meetings with Ravana Water and Sewer Authority, so we got a good partnership there. So we'll really see that percent complete start ticking up pretty quickly. I think they're planning to be finished with the water main, at least that trunk line section, by late February, early March. So that's a lot of the winter work there. Continuing the jack and bore on structures 9-2 and 11-1. Again, 9-2 is a little bit further north toward Ashwood. Actually, it's immediately south of Ashwood Boulevard. And 11-1 is a little closer to South Hollymead than 1220 was. Underdrain installations and installation of the southbound permanent ground mounted signs. So now that they've finished that major excavation work over there, they're installing those signs, landscaping, getting ahead of that to help them complete earlier next year. This is at Hollymead Drive, the signal there. This kind of gives you an idea of one of the small operations that occurred on the night that they did the shift. So these guys in the bucket trucks are actually up here moving the locations of the signals. But there was a lot of work going on out there. And this shows you, this is actually the back of the roller for the paving that was going on, in addition to that signal work and then all the excavation work that was happening in other locations at all of these entrances. And the next picture, I believe, shows some of that excavation work. So this all had to happen over one night. And you can see this is actually the entrance to Ridgewood Motel here. And this is how much they had to drop that grade. So they had to excavate that out, make this connection over to the new lanes, and do that at every single location where we had an entrance or a roadway. So a lot of work happened in a very short period of time. I'm thankful that those guys had a good plan. They executed it because any little variable changing, and this could have lasted all weekend, so this minimized the impact to the residents in the community. So good job for them. So lane closures, we will have lane closures at night the rest of this week and then next week, and then they're going to take a couple months off from night work. So pretty much over the winter until probably February or March, there's not going to be any more night work. And there's not really going to need to be a lot of night work after that anyway, just here and there. Mostly the asphalt paving, if they have to put in a section of water line or a culvert underneath the road, you'll have to do that half of the time. But other than that, it's going to be day work. They're working behind barrier wall. Kristen?
How cold is too cold to lay asphalt?
40 degrees is the target for the base.
Can you lay it and then it gets colder in the night, or that's the low that it can
be? Yeah, usually we go off of surface temperature.
Okay.
So we measure two things. We measure the temperature of the asphalt in the truck and the surface temperature. And as long as it's 40 degrees or higher, they can keep paving. But if it gets below 40 degrees, then they need to button up.
So most of the winter we can still expect something happening. So.
Well, in daytime, see, that's where you get into
a little bit. Yeah, but not at night.
Yeah. Yeah, but where they're working at now, if they need to pave over there toward the end of the winter, they should be able to do that. But then surface course is 45 degrees, so it has to be a little bit warmer for that finished course. Of course, the colder the ambient air is, the faster the asphalt cools in the truck.
Yeah.
So, right. We have to be a little careful there. But so far, things are looking good for any paving work that needs to occur. But
we're not having winter this year.
I hope not. We had a good winter last year, so we're hoping for another good one this year. So that's good news for nighttime land closures. Over the next 2 weeks, they're going to work on some of the excavation at Pond 3. They got a little bit of increased capacity they have to do for that pond. That's the one right there at Asheville Boulevard. Curb construction and ditch excavation will continue. Placement of embankment material on the east side. Erosion control maintenance, that's kind of a weekly thing. Every time it rains, they have to check it every 3 days. Finalizing those structures, 8-1 and 12-20. Various culvert installations throughout the project. The phase four asphalt demolition and milling that I talked about. They've done a lot of that already, but there's a lot of asphalt out there to remove, so they're continuing to work on that. Water main relocation will go into probably February or March. Jack and Bore structures 9-2 and 11-1, hopefully finish those up fairly quickly. They're not hitting as much rock as they did on 8-1 and 12-20. They gave them such a hard time. And under drain installation as they reach grade and before they put down their stones. And again, next week we have lane closures at night, but after that, don't expect any.
So with their re-baseline schedule to finish early, that includes wrapping up nighttime work.
Yes.
Through the winter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, they've been pushing pretty hard, even though a lot of the focus was on Rio, there was still a lot of work.
So while there was a lot of focus on Rio, yeah, there was a lot of work getting done on 29 and Ember.
And part of what we talked about before was combining the phases and minimizing the number of shifts. Yeah. That's what has helped them get to this point, because phase four is really your last major traffic shift. You know, beyond that, I mean, southbound traffic is where they're going to be permanently now.
That's right. Yeah.
Northbound traffic, with the exception of one lane that needs to be added, is where they'll be in the future. And then now it's the real major new construction is waterline, drainage, and the shared use path. And you saw in one of those pictures, you may have noticed it, but they're already starting to put the permanent signal poles up at the intersections. So things like that are occurring now instead of next summer. So any questions on 29?
Okay.
Berkmar, a lot of work's been going on here in the last few weeks, that's for sure. And the schedule we looked at earlier, I think that was kind of an ideal and a perfect world. We'd like to have the bridge deck done by now, but If the weather holds out the way it is right now, all the concrete's going to be on that deck by the end of next week. So they're doing their first pour today.
As we discussed 2 weeks ago, we've been consistent in turning them red when they didn't meet their own schedule. So But I do agree that they've gotten a lot of work done. That was very aggressive.
Yeah, they struggled with the drill shafts more than they thought.
Yeah.
And that kind of slowed them down. Now they've gotten up and gotten all the deck on. So there's five pours. They're doing the first one today, second one tomorrow, three and four early next week, and hopefully by the end of next week they'll do four and five. So,
but same question about concrete for temperature?
Yeah, I mean, 40 degrees is pretty standard. Now, the difference you have with concrete is as concrete cures, it generates heat. So what they do is they'll go out there and they'll do this tonight. They'll put down blankets on top of it and then burlap and then plastic. And they actually pump water up and diffuse it in, onto the deck so it's a wet cure. That helps keep it warm. You actually have to be careful sometimes with concrete in hot weather that doesn't get too hot, expands too rapidly and cracks. So concrete's a little bit easier to do cold weather. You can do a lot more with concrete cold weather than you can with asphalt. But you do have to keep it warm enough that it doesn't freeze. Usually above freezing temperatures is fine for several hours.
If you remember last winter, we had, because this was coal patch work, we had a lot of issues with asphalt crawling out of the poles we were trying to...
It was running out.
We were trying to fix.
In a couple of areas. But yeah. So work this week, corrosion control maintenance, placing stone and fine grading the north part up at the roundabout of town center. Push to fill means push them with the dozer, basically existing dirt. North of the bridge behind the button B, that's the area where they're still trying to work out the grade. Everything else is pretty well along grade. They're actually grading the shared use path in most of the locations along the project now. A Bidwell is a concrete finisher. That's what they use. You'll see a picture of it in just a moment on the bridge deck. So that's what they had to set that up. Yesterday they did their dry run to make sure that all their elevations were right to set up for pouring today. Deck pours 1 and 2 today and tomorrow. You have to clean the deck ahead of the pours to make sure no leaves or any junk gets down in there, nails, whatever it may be. Abutment A and B drainage. They did a little bit of work earlier this week, but they've kind of told the drainage crews get out of the way until we get the bridge deck poured. That's a smart move. We don't want any conflicts with those different crews. Drainage from abutment A south, that's where the drainage crews that were working at the abutment went. They went a little bit further south, so they're working down there near Sam's Club now. And under drain installation at the far north end at town center. This is a Bidwell machine. So I'm standing on the deck underneath the Bidwell. And this portion right here is the smoothing portion. This is the agitating part right here. You see the little spiral screws. So as they place concrete in front of it, it runs back and forth and actually levels out the concrete. And they come through and hand screed behind it.
Going that way?
Yeah, it'll move like toward where I'm standing and then away. So it goes across the bridge deck. It's kind of like a Zamboni on the hockey rink. So what they had to do and what they're doing here is they took a level and put it on the bottom of the finisher. And they ran it over the entire bridge and took measurements all along the bridge on the clearance to the rebar right there. So they spent most of the day yesterday out there doing this. And this is what... These are QC, QA folks. They're taking down the readings. So this guy's taking a measurement. They're doing a measurement on the other side. These guys are taking down all that information. Some of our IA guys over here. So all of us were out there on the deck yesterday making sure that it was set up and ready to go for today. And Lou took...
Will we get some pictures of it going?
Pictures of...
Of the...
Yes.
Hey, yeah.
Well,
good. Yeah.
Yeah, the concreting. And this is a picture kind of up near, very close to where our project camera is, just to show you the steel layout. Everything was laid out in advance of them coming in, setting up the bid roll machine, and then pouring concrete.
I assume you're keeping recordings of all of the camera stuff?
All those pictures. You can go onto the camera now. And go back in time.
Oh,
and
so you
go back in time.
It'd be cool at the end to get one of those super speed up ones. kind of shows it happening.
We were just talking about the super speed up yesterday.
That's the end result. Is they will actually give us a professional format time lapse video.
You can kind of do one on your own now on the website, but they'll produce.
They'll take out the nighttime pictures that didn't have any work going on. to kind of shorten it down, but show you the real
control. Because if you remember, at first, probably because we just didn't think it through, at first, they only had the camera taking pictures in the daytime. At the very first couple of weeks, remember, the camera was only taking pictures during the daytime. But we were only working during the night. But we'll have a nice time lapse of all the work.
This picture was taken up at the Mooney's Field on the alignment. So looking south, there's the cell or the AM towers in the background. And this just shows you it's pretty much 90%, well, 75% of the project is on stone base now. I drove it yesterday in the rain, so, and I don't have four-wheel drive, so, you know, it must be doing pretty well.
Yeah.
And they've pulled, actually, since this picture was taken, they pulled even more curb. So the vast majority of the curb is installed, curb and gutter on the other side. They're grading out the shared use path. A lot of progress on that. Hopefully, we will have this on asphalt this year if the weather continues to cooperate. That's the goal.
This year, this month,
It's already almost all on stone. So the goal, Jason's goal, I know, is to have concrete on the deck, have that done, asphalt on the road, so that we don't have to have any, we don't have to worry about any erosion control issues over the winter time. It's good, it's stable. So that's the goal. So lane closures, this week they have a flagging operation right now for the concrete trucks coming in. They're actually delivering concrete to the pier yard down by the river, pumping it up onto the bridge and using the drag line system to pump it down to where they're actually placing the concrete. The reason they're doing that is they had two pump trucks out today and one of them broke down first thing this morning. So it's always good to have a backup plan, especially when you're dealing with that much concrete. Next week, or the next 2 weeks, continuing erosion control, fine grading stone, placing stone, getting finished grade on the shared use path, getting stone on that, hopefully. Cut to fill at abutment B and south of abutment A, so we're a little low at abutment A, we're a little high at abutment B, working those out. Deck 4, 3, 4, and 5, that will complete the bridge deck, or at least the actual concrete deck, and they still have the barrier wall between the road and the shared use path. And drainage installations at south of abutment A, and then coming down the slope at abutment B. And then this is something to pay attention to here. We do have 2 days scheduled for closure of Rye Mills Road. December 6th is a backup date in case we get bad weather on December 5th. The reason for this closure is this is the day that they will be placing concrete above Rye Mills Road. So we don't want them placing concrete with traffic going underneath the bridge, just in case.
So the plan is to do it in one day with,
yes,
with a backup?
Yeah, it'll certainly be done in one day. But if the weather's good on the 5th, we won't need a closure on the 6th. If the weather's bad on the 5th, we won't close the road, but we'll close it on the 6th. Okay, and that's any questions on Berkeley?
Hey,
okay.
Thanks.
Well,
thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. I did not include a picture on the slide. So, we need orientation. Here's a really little map here.
Thank you.
All right, so for this week, we are continuing to prepare for the modular wall. So we're doing excavation around the wall, where the wall will be, and preparing the undercut so we can place the leveling pad of where the modular wall or retaining wall will sit. So that will start actually tomorrow, the leveling pad, forming that up. And we are also backfilling around the retaining wall as well. And we are forming the footers for the abutment B of the bridge, so that's the southern abutment for the bridge. There are no significant lane closures for this week, so we're doing all work outside of the bricklay. Next 2 weeks, we're continuing working on the modular wall, installing the leveling pad. Contractor said today that in about 2 weeks, we'll actually be getting the retaining wall forms that we'll start installing, and you'll really see a wall if you go back there. When we place the units, we'll also be adding backfill by the modular wall. And that is between Pepsi and the post office. We are doing the architectural panel. Those came in a couple weeks ago. We're going to be doing a test panel so we can see what the bridge aesthetics is going to look like, not only in what the rock face will look like, but also how the staining should be applied to that, to the bridge.
We have lots of information on staining.
Okay, good.
Is it going to be the same kind of...
You meant to say
rock and stain. Different rock. The rock is going to be more rounded and look a little bit more like cobblestone, and the color pattern is going to be gray and black. And if you go on the project website, you can see a couple renderings of what the bridge is going to look like, and then we have two retaining walls that are just going to be knee-high that we're also going to match, and that will be by the laurels and by the post office. So let's see. We're going to form tie steel and place concrete for abutment B, so not only for the abutment, but for the wing walls. So we're getting the southern side of the bridge, the foundation set. We're also working on the homewood suite section, so we are placing the under drain, but also the aggregate stone base, so we can prepare for actually paving the roadway and opening it up after the first of the year. We're going to pour some curb at the homewood suite section. We're also installing storm structure 4-2. That is by the stormwater basin in the county. And the exterior building for Seminole Square, the building that we cleaved, the north wing, we're reconstructing that, and we're hoping to have that done by the end of this year as well.
You saw some pictures of that work 2 weeks ago, if you remember, where they were working on the exterior of the building that they put the road through.
Yes, so we're having no significant lane closures coming up next week, the week after. We're looking to, with this Homewood Suite section that we're starting to, you know, we're hopefully going to open up soon. We're going to be working at the India and Zan intersection. It will be on stone that you'll have to drive through, and that's in preparation for paving that section to open it up.
Hey, Jeanette, why don't you talk just a bit about your visit to the businesses and the detour map?
Sure. Okay, so I brought copies of the detour map as well as some detour signage that we're proposing to put up. So I keep talking about the Homewood Suite section. We're really focusing on that. We're hoping to open that up after Christmas, so after the first of the year. That will provide access from existing Hillsdale Drive on hydraulic all the way to the line, no, sorry, the is it line and India intersection. So it's primarily, we would have individuals that could then access all the way through here. And that is because we want to start working on the roundabout. The roundabout is going to necessitate us closing off line and Zan.
And the X is the roundabout?
The X is the roundabout, that's the location. So by doing that, everything stays the same for every business if you're traveling 29 more. Traveling 29 south, there are 18 businesses that will no longer be able to be accessed by the Seminole Ford signal. So we are installing signage on 29 south, north of Seminole Port, applying another set of signs on hydraulic by Kroger, and another set on hydraulic on the other side between Brandy and Mickey. That's going to be directing individuals to not take Seminole Port signal to the businesses listed, to take a left onto hydraulic, a left onto Hillsdale, and then follow the detour map. In preparation of this, I went to all 18 businesses, handed out a draft version of this map along with my business card. It was well received. One business has called back, the owner of the auto wash, the car wash. And we had, you know, a good discussion about that. They asked for the detour map so that they could then take it and start applying it to their email distribution list, their website, to help customers, you know, locate them during this detour. The detour is lasting approximately 2 months. And again, it's after Christmas, and that's good for most of these businesses. Sometime in January to sometime in March.
At 29 northbound, nothing changes.
Nothing changes. You go the same way.
29 south.
I didn't know there was a Marco and Luca there.
Yes, there is.
Yes, you should visit.
Yes.
Love the one downtown.
So Hillsdale will be open up all the way to India Drive?
Yes.
Is there anything that's going to be done to mitigate? Because I imagine there's going to be a significant amount of traffic cutting through from Hydraulic to 29.
Okay.
To avoid the congestion between...
To avoid the light?
Yeah. To avoid going west on Hydraulic between Hillsdale and 29. I often take that way to go home, and there's... That traffic is going to detour through the shopping.
Especially Whole Foods shoppers. They're not going to want to go left and down to that light and sit there and then come out and come around. So they're going to...
Right. Well, we have warned the contractor to be prepared for increased traffic. It's still going to be 25 miles an hour, and you're not going to have a light at the end. But we can...
Enforcement there, too.
Yeah. Enforcement? Okay.
But it's just something we should be prepared for.
Unless at the beginning when people are developing habits there.
Yeah. Yes. They won't know about it, and then all of a sudden they will know about it.
I think the Whole Foods people is a good point, too.
Mm-hmm.
When I leave Whole Foods, I
hate turning left.
Yeah. I can't see them out there. But I imagine a lot of people are going to start to realize that. And then is it going to close off again? Or will this...
It will remain open.
It will remain open, and then the roundabout opens up, and then there's still kind of closure down that way.
Yes, and we are closing today the entrance that Homewood Suites currently has off of existing Hillsdale. That's been coordinated with the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of providing a little bit of a cut-through traffic. I know Kmart currently does a little cut-through traffic. I would imagine that cut-through traffic is going to... come onto this new roadway.
It might be worth putting speed pillows down temporarily just to, so people aren't speeding through as cut through. Yeah. I don't know. I imagine that it's going to be interesting for the commuters because they're going to be trying
they're
to find
try.
The path of least resistance. Yes. And once the roundabout opens, then they're going to cut through even further down to Seminole Court. It's going to be a little bit of a confusion, but it's... going to be confusing no matter what.
Well, in a way, it's better because you don't have them cutting across places where people are trying to get to their parked cars like they do at Kmart.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's all going to kind of balance.
I guess we monitor and see how it goes. But.
Yeah, it is good to keep that in mind as we move forward.
So, Jeanette, at the end of March, Hillsdale up to the roundabout will be in place?
Mm-hmm. Well, no. Homewood Suite section will be complete. So, pretty much from Whole Foods, except for the exception of that concrete median we're extending, that is going to be all the way to India. We're still going to need to do some work between India and the roundabout. And that was also discussed with the contractor that, again, you're going to be under increased traffic when you do this construction, and I thought it was a good idea.
Interesting stuff.
Yes, definitely.
When the roundabout opens, is that going to be when the whole thing is kind of done, or is
no, the last thing that we're going to be doing is the bridge.
Oh,
so the bridge, we're making good progress on it, but we still have a ways to go. That's probably going to be one of the last things that we do. That and the retaining wall.
So the shopping center road will go through at some point?
It will go through. That's probably at the very end is what's going to happen with that. I felt like there was something else I was supposed to update you all on. Remember. Crosswalks and Jarrow's.
Yes, thank you.
We had some good coordination with Place and also the city's bike ped committee. And we have two new potential locations that are not going to be instituted now, but we're making the adjustments, physical adjustments now to some of the CG12s, the ADA ramps. And one is going to be across Hillsdale at India. And it'll be north of the intersection. And there was also going to be one at the current opening to Kmart. And that would be across Hillsdale. So we're adjusting the concrete median to allow for the future crossing if there's enough volume that warrants it, et cetera. So we're definitely going to be monitoring that.
Is that at the back of Kmart, at the front of Kmart, or in the middle of Kmart?
You know where you're pulling out in front of, like, Gold's Gym? It would be right there.
Straight across
to the left.
There.
Yes, straight across there. And we had a little, we did a lot of work on trying to get it far enough away from the other intersections, at least 300 feet, but still provide enough sight distance. So these were the two best places that we could find for south of the roundabout for crossings. Are there any questions? Or
any questions for Jeanette? I think Henry asked last time if she could bring this large drawing up, and I think it's a good thing to have with you. And maybe we'll figure,
I'll put it on a slide, so that's a lot easier than me pointing with my foot.
That's good. And we will include these exhibits, Deb, with the minutes and put them up on the.
Yes, absolutely. If no one has any comments on the exhibit, we're going to finalize it. We're going to give 50 copies to every business, walk around again, and just hand out my card just to make sure we got everything covered, as well as putting it on the website. And then we're going to do a big email blast when we finally get a finalized date for this disclosure.
Be sure to, if you'd like, touch base with Lou. Lou walking in and out of those businesses at Rio was, I still think, every bit as significant as the technical work that was accomplished just to put a face to VDOT, a face to the city,
absolutely.
Communicate directly with those business owners.
Yes, and the newsletter, if we could work to get some of this included, that would be
Yeah, helpful. Absolutely. Absolutely.
We can put all those exhibits up on the Hillsdale page on 29 Solutions as well as having it on your page. So we'd be happy to let up anything that will be of assistance to you.
Okay. That sounds wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think Mark had a question.
Oh, sorry.
I was just curious about the color on the parking lot above the roundabout, and then on the parking lot right below there, what that blue signifies.
Well, we used an old aerial, and that is simply that we are redoing parking in there.
Okay.
So it's not going to be blocking anything.
Okay.
So
I'm just curious.
There. No.
Okay, thank you.
Jeanette, thank you.
Jeanette, up in that area, isn't there stormwater going in underneath the parking area? Or is that running off into the stream?
Are we talking about the homeless suite section?
No, up where the Kroger is supposed to go.
Kroger,
is any
back here,
back
there is
there.
Stormwater. Right. Yes. No. A big basin.
Yeah, I thought under the parking lot, but.
Yeah.
My confusion.
Joel, go ahead and. Joel did check. There was some accident data available now through August. So he's got some before 2015 and 2016 data now for the period after the GSI reopened.
So last 2 weeks ago, we showed you the data from during the construction period. Now we have our first month's worth of data from the second half of July and all of August. So although it's only a month and a half worth of data. So far, we hope to see this become a trend, I would say.
Yeah.
Going from 2015, the same time period in 2015, we went from 14 crashes to 9 crashes, 5 injuries down to 3 injuries.
Joel, what area does this cover?
Okay, well, we'll go on the next slide. We'll show you.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry.
Before you do that, would it be so that 719 to 815... Or 831,
mm-hmm.
15 is before the construction or during the construction?
The year before.
This is the first day that we opened that intersection at Rio Road.
No, that's 16.
No, 16. That's 15.
There was construction.
Yes.
That's the year before.
Yes, construction was.
I know. I know. Okay. We're trying to do the same time period year to year.
Right.
I'm just wondering if it would be helpful also at some point to have also a pre-construction, like what the conditions were before construction started.
Oh, before
started.
Another
2014.
Maybe even 2014.
We're just doing night work at this. Were we doing night work here?
Yeah.
But it's still distracting as people are driving and
Yeah.
And,
well,
and to kind of think, what were the
yeah,
why the construction
plan. We'll go ahead. We can go back another year.
We can add that.
I'll talk to the traffic guys and see if they have any ideas about that. My suggestion would go back another year.
I think go back into Treads in 2014 and get the same.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Do 3 years and see if we see an increase from there to here.
Yeah. And to see if the new configuration is safer than what was there before anything happened.
Yeah. Because when we were looking at this early on, we were at a point where we didn't have construction for the year before, but now we're in a whole construction. Yeah, so this is the this is basically the diagram from we started down in 29th place and looked up to Woodbrook for both these situations for the whole construction corridor there. And this is the 2015 period. You expect crashes at the signal here at Berkmar, and you see the green crashes are rear ends. So you see a lot of rear-end crashes up here, a place where we probably see a lot of congestion during that time period. You see them around the signal also. The red is side swipes, usually less severe, and the blue is angle crashes. So I think that we'll go back and look a year before. We may see a similar pattern the year before also.
Joel, what we should do is let's go back to 2012. Let's get a five-year picture.
Why don't we do this? Typically, when you do a traffic study, you look at 3 years worth of data. It would probably be appropriate to do the same thing, if that's okay. Prior to construction.
Well, 3 years prior to construction would be 5 years.
One during,
so,
one after.
Yeah. So, yes. I'm fine.
So you want the whole 5 years? You want the 20, whole 5 years?
12, 13, 14, 15, and
16. Good. Okay.
Does that sound
okay? Yeah. All right. Next slide is the post-construction. These two caught my eye particularly. They're side swipes.
Right where we were.
I pulled the reports on these. I don't have them on here, but the reports in both conditions. One was a hit and run, and one was both of them. They were coming on local lanes, going to the local lanes, and the one that was reported as both drivers stopped. Was basically one person not paying attention, shifting lanes over to the other person.
Okay. So it did not include
a U-turn, nor did it include the right turn off of there. Okay. Neither one of them did. The other one was actually, this one actually was, someone was going into Albemarle Square. As they were going in, or as they were slowing down, someone hit them on the rear quarter panel, and that person left the scene.
And was
so
that person on through lanes?
They were both on through lanes. There. Well, I'm sorry. The person that got hit was on three lanes. It was unclear where the other person came from because they left the scene of the accident. So we didn't know, the person that got hit didn't know if they had come the through lanes or if they'd taken the right. But they were. I think that it was in the when they were starting to make a movement into getting ready to turn the Albemarle Square.
Did you say both of those in the center
these
were northbound?
They're both northbound.
Local lane.
Local lanes.
So they weren't hitting traffic coming off of the main.
No. I also looked at this area here where it was diverging, where you go in the split, and that one was not associated with the split.
So
I can't remember exactly where it was.
They were in the wrong lane.
Because I was looking at the extremes here also to see. And it doesn't look like it. It was, like I said, it's way too early to have trends, but so far we don't have anything associated with the U-turn or the right turn there. I thought was good news, but we'll keep an eye on that and see if as the
so
as
you,
get more
you said one thing there kind of quickly. I want to make sure everybody heard. So far, nothing with the U-turn
or the right turn
or the right turn.
Yeah.
Or the westbound northbound right turn.
That's right. Yeah.
With the southbound to northbound U-turn.
Right. Yeah. We do see a little bit of crashes up there. Now, what I'd say about that is 2 weeks ago we talked about these two intersections. We've gotten to the point now where the Woodbrook intersection is the critical intersection on this corridor. It's the most congested intersection on the corridor. And we know that. The morning hours are running pretty well. We haven't made the adjustments for the signal, the whole signal corridor for the afternoon, the midday and afternoon, so we're not quite seeing those green bands. So as we improve the efficiency, hopefully at that intersection, we'll at least reduce these two, there's two green dots there, maybe we can see, you know, we'll two rear end crashes is not bad for 6 weeks worth of dead on a heavy.
The northbound left turn lane.
I think that had to do with the angle collision there. The blue angle collision was someone getting T-boned, and then the red side swipe was somebody in the right lane. One of those situations where someone in a through lane decided to make a left in front of a person taking a left and they sideswiped them. So it's just a bad move on their part. So we're not seeing rear end collisions, and we're not seeing rear end collisions associated with the queue of the left turn lane at this time for this time period.
But there were no accidents there the year before.
Correct.
Yeah. Before this time.
Well, the year before, some of the greens that might be occurring.
At that intersection.
They could be rear ends with queues.
We'll just flip back
some
to
of
them.
Because you have, that's what you have both northbound and southbound.
They hadn't gotten there yet, but they were trying to get there.
Yeah.
Although there's none on the northbound lane.
When the flip back one, let's go back.
Yeah, these look like they're in the southbound lanes.
Yeah.
And that would make sense for when there's more congestion here. It's kind of hard to tell when they're kind of offset like that, whether they're north or south. I only pulled reports specifically of the ones, those red dots that I was seeing that I was had some specific concerns about.
I'm just wondering, maybe part of the, and it's something to keep, you know, obviously this is too short a period to really, like you said, find a trend or a concern, but one thing that might lead to more accidents at that intersection is that people northbound are going faster because they haven't stopped here at Rio. And so they're just kind of sailing through and they may not stop as quickly or they may not.
Well, as we get more data, more months worth of data, I think it might be worth maybe we'll do a little more analysis on looking at the crash report specifically and seeing if we see anything happening like that.
It'll be a good thing to chat about that. Because it's, if we're going to look at, when you say the quarter, you're talking about this quarter right now, right? Woodbrook, I don't think, is the most congested intersection in the quarter.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when there
so was more congested than hydraulic.
DC to Lynchburg, not quite.
It's more congested than hydraulic?
They have a lower level of service at Woodbrook than hydraulic.
Yeah,
where we're getting the green bit,
that's inside baseball, lower level of service.
The overall, let's see, let me try and explain this. The overall delays at this intersection, with all approaches accounted for, is greater than hydraulic. And that's why this is the critical intersection. It used to be Rio Road, now that we've grade separated. So what that means is, you know, we talk a lot about the green bands on here. When you set the green band, when you set the offsets and everything and the cycle length, Woodbrook is now controlling our cycle length for all our signals on this corridor. So what they do to make the corridor work properly, they find the worst functioning intersection. They optimize that signal. They set the cycle length on that signal to make it work the best, and then all the cycle lengths for all the other intersections on that corridor are set at the same exact cycle length. They optimize each one of those intersections individually, and then they line up the green bands with the offsets.
And that's all the manual approach?
No, that's
the software?
That's how it's done, yeah. When we talk about the new technology that we have to see it, we can tweak the things, but to actually analyze those the corridor, you have to count every intersection. You have to figure out what your critical intersection
is. The adaptive signal technology. Once that's initiated, does that change what you're talking about?
Not when you're setting the timing of the corridor necessarily, I don't think.
It's the operation
What we expect out of the adaptive system is in the off-peak hours, it'll help each intersection to function better. So when we say the intersections are operating independently, they're not coordinated anymore because they're all working, you don't have that heavy flow north or southbound at those times. When they're working independently, we expect the adaptive to work better at those times. So the side street traffic will be more efficient. I think in your peak hour and your midday peak and your afternoon peak, you'll see the timings will be still set up for that northbound, that heavy northbound and southbound movement. The adaptive will be less effective during that time because you're still moving the majority of your traffic in the north and south directions. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think the timing of the corridor, the timing of the corridor is still a very manual process. And it's a very involved process. It involves kind of the traffic settling out, analyzing each intersection, counting each approach at each intersection, figure out which one is performing the worst, setting them all according to that one, and then line them all up. And that's where it got the mornings working pretty well now. By the end of this year, we expect the rest of them to do it. That's why I think that you might see a little bit more activity up at Woodbrook at this point, but we'll keep an eye on that. Hopefully that'll kind of work its way out.
And of course, we haven't factored in the effect of Berkmar. Once that's opened, how much traffic is...
And Hillsdale.
Yeah, and Hillsdale.
Yeah, so we'll probably... And what the traffic engineers told me is typically you'll go through this whole process of retiming a quarter every 4 years to keep on top of it. And we did it in 2012. But the technology that we have, the adaptive phase one, that's really to tweak them, not to set the whole performance.
Well, anecdotally, I don't sit at Woodbrook Slide as much as I do at Hydraulics. So, yeah.
Well, it could be a lot with the side street traffic, too. It could have a lot to do with the side street traffic. But that's what Grant told me. I will ask Grant specifically. I'll say, does Woodbrook perform worse than Hydraulic?
Well, yeah, we'll talk about that. Because, as you know, the question you asked, it's going to get a very technical response from that particular group.
He could probably talk about that.
Translate into what is really the most congested in terms of volumes of traffic waiting to make a movement in the corridor.
How long it takes to get through it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, Joel, do you think we can grab, can we grab 12, 13, and 14 before the next meeting and take a look at those? I know there's some sensitivity with the specific action of reports themselves and privacy.
Well,
but
I'm probably not going to have September data by the next meeting. So,
but it could be this.
What
data.
I
know,
I can say this same time period for over a 5 year span from 16, it's from 11 to 16.
Yeah.
And if I have September, we'll go ahead and include that because it'll give you a little bit better. Once I have it set up, I can do that every time if you like.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Pre-cell phone.
That's right. It's going to really pick up that.
That would be neat.
Okay. Well, look, that is our agenda for this meeting, and we will gather that accident information, and we can even have an official post wrap up of Rio on the 15th, but I don't think there's going to be anything new to tell us. So, Chris, any wrap up?
No.
Brad?
Comments is more or less related to the hydraulic intersection. One, just I guess at some point getting an update of the recent info from the secretary about the progress of that project. I know the MPO probably is going to take more of a lead on that. I don't know. I guess starting to get questions about what's happening.
Yeah. Well, there was a request to move some money forward to this fiscal year and the fiscal 18, which the secretary did. And I know there's some discussions now that will need to take place between the city and the county is to move forward with a planning study first, a more of a land use type planning study, and then see what might grow out of that, if anything, in terms of transportation improvements. So the secretary did fulfill the request of the MPO, and that's about where we are right now.
The other is,
and I think, by combining the two budgets.
Yes. Of the
Hillsdale.
The Hillsdale. It was $1 million for this current fiscal year and $1 million for next fiscal year.
The other is probably a question for Joel. I've never before noticed that there was striping. So you're heading northbound, going through the hydraulic intersection on 29. Was there always striping through the intersection?
No. That was put in, and that's been put in twice now because the first time it was a little too abrupt. But the traffic engineers looked at that, and they're trying to I guess it would, had been a little confusing which lane to be in. But I think what they've done is they've actually shifted the lane over to the left.
Right, if you're in the left lane, you're going to stay in the left, far left lane, yeah, which is confusing some people.
It is. I think we're going to keep an eye on that. But I think the advantage is we might be able to, at that intersection, have a free flow right turn lane from Hydraulic to 29 by doing so. And we're going to look at that in the next couple months to see if we have that opportunity. Kind of like Wyo up there.
Okay.
It'll make that intersection work a lot better.
I asked our police department for crash data, and they didn't really have any. I don't know if the city's responding to any crashes out there, but there are a few people who contacted me just confused about the shift. It's now, when you go through the intersection, you're shifting over to the left. It used to be if you were in the left lane, you went straight, and then there was a new left lane. So it's confusing.
And some people thought when they were in the lane over, it was there too, and so they'd end up trying to aim to the right.
It's not an easy intersection, but there's nothing to change. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't unaware.
We're keeping an eye on that because we had some concerns with that shift at first. But I'm not aware of any issues at this point, crash-wise, but we can look at that.
Yeah, I think once people get used to the striping.
Yeah. I think right now, mostly in the rightmost lane, you have kind of your choice.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, you might consider, you have to get that person in the correct lane if you're going to utilize the rightmost lane for a free flow right. So that's what they have to figure out at this point.
Anything else, Brett?
No.
Chris?
No.
Kristen?
Nothing.
Mark?
Chip? I think at the next meeting, we should be scheduled to have Albemarle County and SIR Marketing
right.
give a wrap-up. All of the marketing and outreach is complete on that portion.
Yeah.
We had scheduled
that with JR?
Yes.
Yeah.
Scheduled with JR, so we should have that at the next meeting.
Okay. All right. Very good.
We're out of time, Kristen.
Take a cup of coffee. Okay. Thank you very much. See you in 2 weeks.